Wednesday evening, 3/20/24, we're going to look at part four of the office of the prophet. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Revealeth there means to reveal, obviously, to advertise, appear, beray, bring, carry, lead or go, captive, depart, disclose, discover, exile, be gone, open, plainly publish or remove. So a man is called a prophet, usually, and a woman a prophetess. According to Rick Renner, there's two kinds of prophets, those that see and those that hear. Another word of a prophet in the Old Testament was a seer or a seer. It's kind of like S-E-E-R or whatever, S-E-E-R, I guess would be. Anyway, they see visions. Those that hear are scribes. Now, I've talked to you before that I've always believed that that's kind of how the Lord uses me is more as a scribe. What does a scribe do right here? To score with a mark as a tally or a record, what I hear, write down. A lot of times in the scriptures, we're going to look at a scripture in Jeremiah where Jeremiah called for the scribe. The scribe wrote down what he said, okay, from the Lord. Jeremiah 36. We're going to begin with verse 1 there. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a scroll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. In other words, keep a record of these words. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commended Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah into Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, to all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Delilah, the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Akbar, and Jemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, the son of Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Barak, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them, and he said unto them, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Barak read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and another, and said unto Barak, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Barak, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? And Barak answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with the ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Barak, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where you be. And they went into the king and to the court. They laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Reminds me of today. Anytime a prophet comes forth with something, people just rip them to shreds. And they're all over the place, I will have to say that. Okay, where did I stop? Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants. They heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Delaiah and Jeremiah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, and the son of Abdel, to take Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Yeah. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the roll, and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write it in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written thereon, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. In other words, if you don't like the word, then you just disregard it, right? Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Barak the scribe, the son of Neriah, and who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and they were added besides unto them many like words. Jackie had asked me about the clips if I'd had anything about it, and the only thing I told her that I had, Genesis. Let me see, I wrote down Genesis 1:14. We'll look at that just for a minute. We're going to get into about a prophet. Okay, this is 1:14. God said here, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Well, today I tuned into the Prophets and Patriots, you know, Elijah stream, and Johnny Enlow was on there, and I've heard him a couple of times, and every time I've heard him, I really like what he has to say. He's very in the know about what's going on, about everything. I like it too because he's really big on the Seven Mountain Mandate. And he's very, very, when he brings a word, it took him an hour and a half because he breaks down everything the Lord gave him with scripture, like kind of like a scribe. I was talking about that. So this is what he had to say about it right here. Because he said, everybody's all over the place. Who do you believe? Johnny Enlow said this.
Babylon
the eclipse. Sorry. The eclipse that's coming August the 8th. Well, this eclipse that's coming the 8th piggybacks on the one that happened, I think it's August 2017, a few months after Trump went into office. And he had a word of the Lord that on that one also. And so they go together. And so, and it had been, when that happened in 2017, it was 67 miles wide. This one's going to be 120 miles wide. And it had been 99 years since we had had an eclipse like that. So there was significance. If you want to tune into that and hear it, there's a lot of detail. But this is what I wrote down. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God, not the gory of God. Because so many people are just talking about, oh, it's the judgment of God, it's Nineveh and all. He said, you know what? They focus so much on Jonah and his attitude more than they do even what happened. The people repented. He goes in there and says, this is going to happen in 40 days, and bang. He didn't even say, if you don't repent. In this translation, it didn't say that one that he used. But anyway, the basic was this. They repented, and God gave them a reprieve. So he says, this is what this, he says, that this comet's representing, these two. He said, X marks the spot where the other flight path was from one end, and here comes the other one coming from the other way, and it makes an X. He said, what does X mark the spot of? Treasure. Reset. God's best. Not succumbing to the Antichrist. Not being in that system, that way where most Christians want to go. It is amazing to me that Christians seem to go to the negative. But he said, God's not declaring his things in the sky, just like, you know, the star that the wise men followed to get to Jesus. Yeah, bad things happen. All the little boys in Jerusalem were slaughtered. Yeah, a bad thing happened. But the King of Kings was born. See, it's a good thing. The heavens declare the glory of God, not the gory. It's not to be, in other words, not to be used. God doesn't use his signs, stars, sun, and moon, to show bad things. It's to proclaim his glory. I agree with him on that, all right? All right, and he said right here, the Holy Spirit doesn't use gematria. We've heard everything. Using the gematria, or Q said this, or whatever. He said, well, you know, he uses the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is what speaks. Not who said this, who said that, and this decoder, that number, or that, this, or that. Unless God says it. All right. All right, let's see. He said the 120 miles of the eclipse, this one that's happening on the 8th, at Nineveh, there was 120,000 people that repented. He brought that parallel. So you can take with that, he said, Nineveh is a sign of repentance. It's a time of repentance, of receiving the Lord and God's goodness to his people. It's not a time of, oh my God, they're going to do it. Oh, they're going to hurt us. They're going to, that junk, I'm done with hearing all that. We haven't come this far, this 7-year Armageddon war or whatever you want to call it. We haven't come this far for God to drop us and say, oh no, just kidding, you're going to have to succumb. You know, you're not going to be able to buy or sell. If you don't take the mark, there's going to be all this happening. Most of the church is sitting and waiting for that to happen. Instead of hearing Jubilee, millennial reign, Christ is coming. He's setting up his government. All right. We have a good God. Yes, it's going to be bad for the wicked. Make no ifs, and buts about it. That's just the way it is, but that's what they've chosen. I'm sure, and I don't know about the pedophiles and the blood drinkers and all that. I don't know that they're all human. But for a normal person, if they come to repentance, God will give them a reprieve. And that's the way to look at it. All right, prophet here. It means to prophesy, speak, or sing by inspiration, in prediction or simple discourse, inspired man or a woman. Okay, 2 Peter. Oh, I got to tell you one other thing. I told this to Danny yesterday. I listened to Kim Clement's very last public appearance, and he makes this statement. The church needs a return to apostolic Christianity. And I said, there we are. There's our mission. That's what God has called us to do. In other words, he said, the basics. People don't know the basics. The church is lost without a compass. And he said, going back to those basics and setting those basics down. I'm thinking, yep, doctrines of the faith. That's what this last shoot, we began that one. I said, wow. All right. 2 Peter 1, 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Even though there's people all over the place, we're not to despise prophesying and prophecy. Yeah, it needs to be judged, and we'll look at that when we get into the New Testament part of it next week. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God or women spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now we liken that to, I told you, Rick Renner likened it unto a ship that cannot go anywhere until the wind hits the sails. So the prophets move by the Spirit, not by the flesh. All right. This is something that a statement that Rick Renner made, but also Brother Hagin, right here. The New Testament prophet has a greater standing than the Old Testament prophet or prophetess because the Spirit came upon the Old Testament prophet. It only came, it didn't stay, but in the New Testament it comes from within. Kind of like he has a book, Brother Hagin, The Spirit Upon, The Spirit Within, isn't that the name of it? Yeah, okay. Here is a list from thisischristianity.com of the Old Testament prophets. These, the four major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The 12 minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Major and minor are not by on how much they did, but was the size of the book in the Bible, whether they were major or minor. It's not that they didn't accomplish as much, they're minor, that's not what it means, okay? We're not going to look at those today because those are books that you can actually go and read yourself, but we're going to look at some others in the Bible that I believe are prophets. And we're going to see that through Scripture. The first one I want to look at is Enoch. This is Genesis 5:22, first Scripture. Verse 22 says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now he's right up there with Elijah. He's the one that went in the chariot of fire, right? All right. So I believe definitely he is a prophet. All right, the next one would be Noah. This is Genesis chapter 6. We'll start with 12 there. And the reason I say that is because the prophets get the blueprints to God's plan. Like we read in Amos right here. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So God had a plan. All right, verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubic shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with lower sections, or with lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So that's pretty detailed, isn't it? I'd say he's a prophet to receive this information. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to that God commanded him, so did he. So he followed his instructions to the letter. It's a good thing. We're using Amos 3:7 as the marker when we look into these different stories of people that I believe are prophets, that are not recognized as prophets, maybe. All right. The next one would be Abraham. All right, Genesis chapter 12. Which it does say, but it's not obvious right here. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless him that bless thee, curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So it said, so Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Okay. Genesis 20, verse 7. This is when he went in to see Abimelech and Gerar, right here. And he told everybody, well, Sarah's my sister, right here. This is what the Lord spoke to Abimelech. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and he called all his servants, told all these things into their ears, and the men were sore afraid. All right. We're going to keep looking at Abraham just a little bit more. All right, God revealed to his friend what he was going to do. James 2:23. we'll start with 21 there. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Pretty good thing to be friend of God, right? Friend there means fond, friendly, an associate, or a neighbor. So you could look at it like this. God's prophets are his associates. They hand down his mandates and his orders to the church, specifically the apostle. All right. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. All right. Now go over to Galatians 3. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right. Now we're going to look at a few prophetesses. All right, the first one we're going to look at is Miriam. This is Exodus 15. Verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. This is after the Red Sea incident. You know, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. It's where that song comes from. You know, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. All right, the next one we're going to look at is Deborah. This is Judges 4. Right here, let's just start with verse 1 here. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazar. The captain of those hosts was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel, and Deborah, the prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She was a prophet and a judge. All right. The time of the judges. Okay. The next one we're going to look at is Huldah. I guess it's Huldah. This is 2 Kings. All right, start with verse 11 there. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Akbar the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azaziah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Akbar, and Shaphan, and Azaliah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shulam, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. All right, now we're going to look at a woman named Abigail. We turn over to 1 Samuel. There's quite a few ladies. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to start with verse 1 there. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. I told you the wrong one. Who did I say, Abigail? I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong one. 1 Samuel. Wait a minute. Sorry, 25. All right, y'all there. All right, verse 1 there, 25 of 1 Samuel. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran, which David also was a prophet. I hadn't put him in here, but he was. And there was a man in Maon, whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David went out or sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. Now I've heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, and to thy servants, to thy son David. When David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and given unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and took bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. He hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertained to him by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. When Abigail saw David, she hastened and lightened off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Now this blessing which thy handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee in all thy days. She's very prophetic, isn't she? Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound to the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. It shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good things that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember mine handmaid. And David said unto Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. So David received for him that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and I have accepted thy person. So the rest of the story, I guess you can read on your own. But anyway, Nabal ends up dying, and she becomes David's wife. So anyway, I believe she's a prophet. Most definitely. All right, the next one's Hannah. This is Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1. All right, y'all there? Let me get a drink. There was a certain man of, here I go with all these names, Ramatham, Nophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, the son of the Ephraimite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Penaniah, and Penaniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. When the time was the Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, said to her, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. She was in the bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. They rose up early in the morning, early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O Lord, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. So I believe the Lord put that in her heart. He was going to be the next priest and the prophet. He was there all his life. So, okay. Well, let's just keep reading a little bit more. I have a little bit more. Chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine heart is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoiced in thy salvation. And there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. It sounds like she's prophesying. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7. The Lord blessed her with 6 more kids. And she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So he's going to end up taking the place of Eli and his sons, okay? All right, the last one's Esther. This is, you know what? It's the book of Esther. I was excited to write down the book. It's the book of Esther. That's an easy one. Now, I'm not going to read all of Esther because it's very obvious to me she was called by divine design to stand in the gap for a nation. Okay. We're just going to read chapter 5 and chapter 7, and then we'll be done here. Now, this is after Esther finds out what wicked Haman has plotted against her, the Jews. All right. Now, it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on a royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. Chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" All right. That came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the Lord held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in her hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter, which if he didn't do that, then she could have been executed. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to half of the kingdom." And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day into the banquet that I prepared for him." Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be performed." Then answered Esther and said, "My petition and my request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition to perform my request, that the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, as the king has said." Then went Haman forth that day, joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up, he moved for him. He was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children, all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, "Yea, Esther the queen did not let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared, but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her with the king. Yet all this abideth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Then said Zeresh his wife, all his friends said unto him, "Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou and merrily with the king unto the banquet." And the king this and the thing pleased Haman. He caused the gallows to be made. All right, chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? It shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom." Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is he, and where is he, that doth presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. The king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden at the palace of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, "Will he force the queen also before me in the house?" As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's head. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, "Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him thereon." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. So we know they end up being delivered. Purim, that's what Purim is all about. But you know what? You talk about someone that young and someone that wise. You know, I believe she was a prophetess. All right, well, that's going to be off. We're going to pick up with the New Testament next week.